There's not a lot of times we say this, but we're going to say it now. I'm getting, all right, welcome.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh my gosh. Welcome, guys. Oh, he did a rock, paper, scissors contest where it was a joke. When we got to argue, let's not go there.
Yeah.
Let's just say I won the rock, paper, scissors contest and I was good. Welcome, guys, to another episode. As you see, we're uploading a lot more often, not once every two seasons. So should happen more often, hopefully. And welcome back, guys. Welcome back. I'm now 23 years old. Yeah, my birthday.
Which one's the clap one?
Life is a joke, huh? My birthday happened April 18th, and that was a whole episode that we're going to talk about right now. But beforehand, I just want to say, the last episode we talked about, I was concerned about certain statistics of I'm never going to find love. I got a girl, guys. No, I didn't. So what I found out was, look, this is why I say do your own research, because it's conflicting. So the last episode, I was basically sounding like majority of us are not going to get anything by the age of 30, whatever. This is something from the CDC I found just now. The probability of a first marriage by the age of 30 is 74% for women and 61% for men. And if you see it that way, first of all, how is it 74% of women and only 61% of men? Because women are marrying guys. Unless they're marrying other women. So there's that. Or it's just probably by age range. Yeah, that's probably why. Because by age 30, no women tend to marry men older than 30.
Wait a minute. Why is this?
So there's hope, guys. If 74% of women by the age of 30 are marrying, dude, you're good. There's a high chance you're going to... So
why is the CDC making marriage statistics?
Love is the disease, man. It spreads. The power of love.
You want to marry him? When's the last time you were sick?
No, he has COVID.
I'll write that down.
I don't marry people with SARS. Okay, so there's that. Now, the topic of this, I'm going to be more honest again. Now, the last podcast, I was a bit more vulnerable and more open and a bit weak, but I want to understand, I want to let it known that, first of all, the pillar I have to keep me going, that I've been practicing, and I say this again, the past, it's been 9 months, I think. Yeah, holy crap, it's been six to nine months. I've been praying every single day. Every single day without fail. It's been working and helped tremendously. Now I'm doing it twice a day to even sometimes three times a day. Little tip. If you guys want to know, figure out a quick prayer if you want to, and to, you know, connect more of God through Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, I think that's where along it has the verse for praying towards God, like, hallowed by thy name, may you take peace of your daily bread. Forgive me my sins as I've forgiven others, and protect me from all temptations. It was all like that. It's a good standard prayer. It should last you literally 20 seconds. You can do something like that, then do it, whatever. So I just want to let you guys know that I've been within this past, basically almost coming a year now, that I've been praying, and that has been the backbone for me having the will to keep going on. I do pray for a certain amount of people every day too. So there's that. And I just want to say that the power that the prayer did for me is that through in my darkest, deepest times, I actually legitimately get a little push of motivation and a push of peace, because I know that my struggle with my faith is that, honestly, I don't truly... This is turning to me, not straight into my view on religion, but sorry, this is going to be more about me too, guys. So if you don't like my voice, you can just leave now. Sorry. Yeah, get fracked, Sam. No, I'm playing. Sam's gonna blow your minds the next episode. Oh my gosh. No, it's not for certain. What I honestly figured out with myself is that I'm not gonna lie to myself, and it's good to be honest. And even in the Bible, what I've understood, it's actually good to confront your issues honestly with God. The book of Job actually emphasizes on that. Like, the way you're supposed to say, voice your quarrels, but anyway, Job did it the right way, and he got everything taken away from him. But this is my honest confession. Although I know with my background, and I know that I'm trying to do what I have to do to try to be a good Christian or try to be a good person in my life with my sense of God, I honestly wholeheartedly struggle and fully believe. I know it's the right thing. I know I have to do it. I'm in the process of being converted, but I honestly just a part of me still is like, there's probably not a heaven. There's probably not a hell. I still struggle to have that faith. And when you don't fully believe, or even if you don't have that faith, it puts you in a position where your life, mortality, your sense of everything else is meaningless, because you don't have that sense of God or a higher purpose. It's a void. And without aim and struggle and without a plan in the future, and you mix in some statistics of, hey, you're never going to have love again, which is one of the, if not the most value, the most important thing in my life that I aspire to be when I grow up. It's a very dark position, and it could make you think of dangerous things like, why should I even live anymore? It put me in a space that I used to frolic in when I was younger. And honestly, when you don't see a solution to an existential dimorphos or a crisis, an existential crisis to just no end of hurt, whatever, it's tough. It's tough. But I'm choosing to have faith, because if all else, why not? You know, if there's nothing, why not just try to cling on to a higher hope? That's what made me convert more to religion when I was around like 20. I was like, I'm thinking, wait a second. This process of me being agnostic and me being like, I don't know what exactly how it is, where what's the loss? If I already have such a pessimistic attitude, why not just choose to have faith in something higher up? Why not? Because if it's meaningless at the end, at least I go out feeling much more fulfilled in my life, you know? And it's kind of just, it's a purpose itself to go with that process. But all right, that was my little religious thing. I'm glad I did what I did. And as the months pass by, honestly and wholeheartedly, with my struggles of how to live life properly, like listening to secular music and all that, I hope my heart will actually fully change. And I'm sticking to my faith in being so. Now, when I turned 23, something happened to me. And this has been an overarching thing I've been explaining to you guys the past couple of episodes. If you can pull the pieces together of what I'm concerned about, I'm still not going into full detail because it's still continuing, but my heart has been in a tough place, and I've been tormenting myself a lot because some things haven't been sorted out with what I'm going through. And it's, again, it's a vulnerable thing. Sorry, pardon the hesitation. All right, so I'll just get to it. When it hit 12 o'clock on my birthday, I usually have this thing where I would message a lot of people at 12 o'clock, like, oh, happy birthday, happy birthday. I do that for years. And it's not a big deal, right? It's not a big deal, but no one said happy birthday at all when it hit 12 o'clock. I mean, at home, yeah, it was like later. It was like a good 20, 30 minutes, nothing, right? And then these thoughts started kicking in that I was just a reflection of my reality. That, hey, I honestly don't have any real legitimate friends in person. I really don't. Maybe I have one online, props to you, man. And I have some distanced. And it made me feel like, I'm going to do another confession, you guys, real quick. There was in middle school, I'm telling you, this is a tender moment. I was like 13, 14, 7th, 6th grade. And I was in my room and I was just crying, whatever. And my dad came in and he told me why am I like this? And I was confessing, I was telling him, like, I was just crying because I had no friends and I was pretty isolated. And I just wanted to feel appreciated in a way that I wouldn't feel alone, because throughout my childhood, throughout my entire life in school, I would socialize, be nice to others. And I would always appreciate the people around me. I would always have a small amount of like close friends that I would talk to daily. That was always how I was when I was a kid. For reasons I don't want to dive too much into, but it's just hard to find people that I truly believe like I can be honest about every topic with. That's really what it was. And it kind of, when you leave school and the adult world, it's hard. That bothers me. That aspect of making friends when you're an adult, that always bothered me, because I was thinking, these guys just go to work and go home, go to work, go to home. Come on, where's the real friends? Where's the fun in that? Where's the socializing of different people, walks of life? That's why school is super, super important in that sense, making the friends. So 23, 12 o'clock hits, and I was like, oh, I'm not getting what I usually give to others. The whole mix of what's happening to me, the baggage coming on. And I know I got emotional and started breaking down a bit, but something that's happened that's really, this is kind of new. Not, well, it's never happened this much this year, which I had an actual anxiety attack, which is, and now that I know what it is, it kind of concerned me. And I just, it was a lot of heavy breathing. I couldn't breathe. It was like I was hyperventilating. And I, in the midst of it, I was like choking up, saying, what's wrong with me? Like every choke. And I tried to do a prayer in between it. And it was a very defeating moment. And it was so bad that I found, I was scared. I thought I had a stroke because half of my face was numb. My left eyelid was, both my eyes were twitching intensely. I couldn't, my left mouth felt numb. But I searched it up. It's just very common because the blood pressure, it got cut off a bit. It's a common thing with people with anxiety attacks is not to worry about stroke. And later on that day, people said happy birthday. Everyone who I wanted to tell me happy birthday, they told me happy birthday throughout the day. And I just...
That's a perception thing and timing, because at the time it felt so real that...
Yeah, but you know, it's a perception thing, but honestly speaking, I'm not trying to burn bridges. I'm not going to. It's not. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like. I mean, I'm just being honest. I don't have any real, legitimate, like real life friends that I can go to. I just don't. It's not in my. That's just consistent.
That only happens when, percentage wise, the majority of your life is outside of home. And because
that's what it is. My life too. But
our life has been mostly home. Yeah.
Yeah. People get busy, and that's understandable. It just sucks.
Another thing too with work and the school thing, in school is the perfect in between of being professional, I have a job, and also having fun just socializing and work. It's not always the best thing to give a level of vulnerability and get a school, very close person that is also your coworker.
School is more pure because of the, it's more pure because of the age and the different walks of life.
It's more inviting to talk to someone. You're both, everyone's trying to grow
together.
There's more
people you can socialize with. And that goes without saying, that sense of trying to make friends in school. It's okay. You can always make friends anywhere.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah.
I'm not in that space right now to be like divulging in the topic, but I'm just kidding. You guys get it. Yeah. This happened to me January, maybe in February, and my birthday. And that's really not good. This is because it's happening way more frequently than it ever did. So, which is telling me that I'm holding in a lot of stress, that I'm not properly taking care of myself. And I think it's really because what's happening to me recently that I'm not going into detail, that it's a lot of mental anguish, a lot of mental anguish. And I wish I can go to more detail, but I think I would be ruining something going on that I shouldn't be. Because this is really more about me than anything. So, how do you deal with grieving properly? What I've been doing, I think I'm doing the right thing, where I'm just being completely honest. I'm talking to everyone about, I'm dead honest at home. I'm as open as a book. Pretty much everyone knows everything. There's nothing I have to hide anymore. My deepest secrets, barely any. It's nothing new. Everyone in my family, including my parents, which actually was a big thing. I confessed a little problem I had to my parents, which I kept in for years, and I didn't want them to know. But I did it because I wanted to truly change because of what's been happening. I wanted to be a better man. So now it's way more freeing. Everyone in my household knows my deepest problems, more or less, and I'm still figuring out my own problems, that's what it is. So I'm doing the confession right. I'm facing what I'm fearing. Yes, I think so. I'm considering it's an amalgamation of my belief, who I'm dealing with, and what I'm doing to myself too. I'm facing that because I'm not running away from it. But I think I don't know how to say this without not doing what I want to do, which is expose the, I don't know. I'm still struggling with it.
This is how I approach things where I'm grieving. Step one for me is I don't look at my current feelings. Not yet, initially. Because when you grieve, you're dealing with something heavy. So don't worry about your feelings today. for just a little bit, because it's important to feel it. So you can't be in denial.
Not me, not me. I let it out. I let it out right away because it hurts too much.
You can do that, but I think a better thing through doing that is while you're feeling it or before it gets a little worse that same day, you have to start thinking as fast as possible in a healthy way. You don't force yourself, but the fastest possible timeline where you could put a trajectory to this, a timeline. I know that things are going to get better because as time goes, this. Not just letting yourself feel it out and then going like, oh, okay, now things have to get better. But it's important to start putting the map of, I know things are going to get better even though I feel like freaking garbage. And don't put a pressure on yourself of, okay, now how do I make it better? Just say that to yourself. I know it's going to get better. I don't know how, but I know this is temporary. Because with your intent of wanting a positive outcome, just the intent alone and you having that faith, it'll get there. You just don't know exactly the
day. Yeah, but you know what it is? It's also my, in a selfish way, my desire. Because my biggest desire, I don't care about the material. Everything else doesn't matter to me. That's the thing. Like, even if, oh yeah, you got this material, but the most important thing, people, if I see that I don't have that, then the nihilism, the this is pointless, this is not, it doesn't matter to me anymore. My life doesn't matter to me.
That means you're putting too much weight on this category of life then, because nihilism in this relation would be that person's taking too much weight or the desire.
The desire of, yeah. But you know, how can you convince me not? Because that's the most common saying, that the most important right thing now. In your, but it's still true. That's what I struggle with. Come on, you can.
It's still true, but remember, that's in the whole story. It's a fact of life. That's one of the most.
That's
important
not guaranteed.
Areas of life.
Yeah,
it's not guaranteed. It's that it's right now that it's else. Happening. That this is it. So you still feel that way, though. That's the thing.
I see the threat. I see the threat of me dying alone. That's what I see.
But you see, like the statistic we opened up with for me. Statistics, they can say whatever number they want, but one thing that's a fact is that it's not a constant. No matter how against the odds you are, it's not. So where there's a will, there's a way. As long as you keep your standards, you don't jump into some wreck.
Now, there's also a problem with what I'm dealing with personally that has nothing to know. Does not do much with anyone, but it's a side effect that I don't want to open up to yet, because that's, I feel like if I open up to that, it's helpful, but it's actually really helpful, but I'll feel like my self-worth will drop a lot more if I drop that. If I say release, I don't think I'm ready to say it yet.
Yeah, guys.
But I'll just say this. It's very common. A lot of guys deal with it, so you put one or two together.
I know that is important, is being vulnerable. That's important, but there's certain battles you should fight private. And then later in your life, if you're okay with it, you share the story. But as you're dealing with the circumstance, it's not always... it's good to share, but like, for example, in this stage and phase of your life, for you to say it on a podcast is not.
I also fear looking like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because my heart isn't fully changed yet. So acting like I'm better than that, trying to teach while I'm doing it, you know. I mean, it's happened. I've seen people where they struggle with it.
That's normal.
It's because it's a process. It's just about how honest you are in the midst of it. I can say now I definitely progressed years ago dealing with this problem. I have integrating more methods of perspective. And also when you just do it so much, it's like, this is disgust. It's just, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you just,
no, I'm going to cut it off.
Why not?
I'm going to cut just the last.
No, Sam, leave this on. I want you to leave this on. It's okay. I want to say it anyways, but not say it. So it's fine. Look, it just comes to a certain point where I'm getting, as I mature, I realize like, yeah, I know what's most important. It's the real life thing. It's just fixing myself before it happens. That, because you don't want the healing to happen circumstantially, because that's not real healing.
Yeah.
So I'm in the midst of doing that. Yeah.
And also with the what should I believe in faith journey, I think put a lot of your trust on the higher being. Pray a lot more. And in terms of asking, ask God, if you are here, if you're the one who's made everything, reveal to me, show me the truth.
I've done that.
And just stay with your mind open, because God reveals himself through people, through actions, patterns, and different things.
Now, here's the thing. I've seen some like never before seen signs that I was like, whoa, what the heck? This has never happened ever in my life. Right on the door of our building. I've seen things I prayed for, and literally I get a phone call of a certain thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Or the problem is that I'm assuming it means this, but it doesn't look like it is.
Yeah.
And when I'm struggling so much in trying to figure out what's the purpose of this, that is, it's torturous and it hurts a lot. But now I'm actually reaching a point where the feelings, it's not concluded, but I'm definitely at more peace than I was 2 or 3 months ago. That's true. And where this will end up, whatever. But I know that as long as I keep myself close to adhering to God, it doesn't matter who it is. It can be the closest people in my life or not. As long as it doesn't matter any human in this earth. As long as I adhere close to God, then I should be okay in like the highest sense. I should be okay. And I think that's the most important thing. One more small thing. In my birthday, we went to Cheesecake Factory, and I didn't have an anxiety attack eating cheesecake. I love chocolate cake. That thing was good as frack. I had the Snickers and the God, I don't know how to pronounce it. But I started getting emotional in Cheesecake Factory at the end.
The chocolate was that good.
No, because I was talking. I just said a lot about it. I was talking to my brother and parents. It's good to know that people care about me. And when I said that, then the emotions just started. I started feeling really bad. I actually kind of feel bad saying that now. But yeah, 23. The lesson I learned when I was 20, when I was 20, 21. What was it? Giving myself grace or something?
Uh-huh.
I think the lesson I learned with 22.
Eating chocolate.
My last year was definitely one of the most transformative years of my life, because I started doing the consistent prayer again. I got my first job, gym membership that I'm still following through, concert, but that's still like a lot of things actually. Being reunited with someone, you know, that's pretty, a lot of big things happening, actually losing someone or cutting ties with certain people all within 1 year. And I wasn't expecting that to happen at all. Most of those neither of those things, except the job. I wasn't really expect even the type of job I got. I think the age of 22 was definitely a change of heart year. What I learned the most is retribution. I think it was a year of retribution. And I think maybe this upcoming year, it's going to be about repentance or just trying to admit my flaws and trying to actually go towards away from that. But guys, by the way, towards my career thing, it feels kind of scary, but it may change. All right. It's not guaranteed, but I finally figured out what I think I'm going to do. And I kind of say that comfortably and not really as anxious, really. And drum roll is, I think I'm going to be a dental hygienist. I'm going to be a comedian. No, I'm a horrible one. No, yeah. I used to, in middle school, I actually thought about being a dentist, but because you know what it is? My experience, it was just really good, very positive, always great people, even though my biggest problem with that is like those things, like the offices of dentists are so boring. Like I can't imagine me working in one. But I figured out like, hey, the description of a dental hygienist is going to be cleaning people, talking with them. I'm going to be more working on others anyways. And it's a very dignified job. And the pay is amazing, even if I work part-time. So put one and two together. It's like, hey, I actually don't feel that scared about me doing the day-to-day. I imagine the day-to-day, the problems, the worst things I can go through. They just say, hey, it's going to be tough. Just work out. And I'm like, I'm already doing that already.
Yeah, so far from what I hear, the impression you have on it is that it's doable in a way that it doesn't feel like
it's doable and dignified. Yeah. And I can see sustaining a family with that comfortably.
And this goes against the fear you have, which was of
never still finding fear. The job. There's still fear. I told you, my biggest fear really, because, hey, I saw a statistic about it that there's actually a big dropout of dental hygienists because the biggest complaint was the work culture. And it could be extremely boring. I can see that coming. But again, if that happens, I at least have the part-time to back up on, because it's like the pay is really good per hour.
No, but also the fact that that job, for sure, without you trying it, from what it sounds so far,
I'm dedicating myself.
Somewhere where you'll see yourself miserable.
Not that miserably, because again, the dignity of the job alone would make me pretty content. I honestly say that with no no major headaches in my head, nothing. It's like slight, but yeah, it's gonna take me 2 years to get the degree. And I honestly, I'm all for it. I'm not really that scared. My plan right now is going to try to be a phlebotomist or EKG technician. Work that out for a couple months and then to pay off classes to boost my GPA. Then from that, I'm going to transfer to the dental hygiene program. Work for 2 to 3 years in that. And by the time I'm like 26, 27, I'm going to be making good money. And I'm going to, I'm serious, like good enough where I can own a house. No problem.
Nice.
And yeah.
And guys, this is very important because we always find ourselves stuck like, what the heck is it that I'm going to do in my career? And if you notice, this is why I always say that experience can be the teacher and letting you know what you like and don't like. But sometimes people always say, you got to go out of your box.
That is the box. Zone.
That's important. No, but sometimes you have to dive within your sphere to remind yourself of what you actually want. For example, that connection of your experience at the dentist related, it wasn't the full thing, but it's a factor in you choosing to do this.
It's very nice. I never always had good experiences with them. Always sweet. Always. Well, when I was younger, I'd be choking on the x-ray again. And I hated waiting. I hated the waiting. That's really what it was, the waiting. But everything else, I always felt good. It always gave me a good impression. Like, oh, this is actually really sweet.
I wish there was a
It's camera. Not guaranteed, though. I still might change, but I'm willing to dedicate myself, and I don't really see myself that angry about it, nothing.
If there was a camera outside of dentist spots, the people's faces when they come out is either a corny, cheesy smile or crying.
Smiling. Oh, yeah, but yeah, guys, with the griefing thing, we're going to end this podcast soon because, you know, we got to get... But with the grieving thing, this is the most honest, vulnerable I've ever been ever in my life with my entire family. I'm step by step. It's a process taking it in. And I think, hey, don't laugh. No, I'm playing. Sam was just sniffing something out.
Yeah.
I got it. Just joking. Yeah. Allergy season is tough. May is the best. Oh, yeah. May, the weather. It's only getting hotter. I'm starting to hate the summer more because usually my seasonal depression of summer occurs. But I can't handle the heat, guys. Like, if it gets above 85, I have a headache. At one time, I had photosynthetic poisoning. I don't even know why. But yeah, my body is really sensitive to high heat. So I kind of already don't like the summer. Now with the whole global warming thing, dude, last year, it was a whole month straight of just 90.
Yeah, that's
insane. I can't handle that.
Honestly, guys, I'm a lizard. Burn me. Burn my cheeks both sides. I don't care how hot it gets.
I hate
it. As long as the sun is not blazing, if it's clouds, I'm fine.
I wish I had that durability, but my body just can't. And it sucks because that's the most freeing time. But yeah, the FOMO's kicking in already. The fear of missing out of like everyone's doing stuff and I'm here just sucking bull.
Yeah.
And I had a 3-year vacation.
But now, time. You see, this is getting to be very interesting because from a place of not knowing what's next, it's getting a little bit more clear. And this is also why a lot of older people, when they are in the aftermath of their story, their life story, they tell younger people, just hang on, it'll work out. But that sometimes dismisses how stressful and how at the moment the crisis you deal with at the beginning. But they're right. It's true. Have patience. Stick it out. Keep your intent to better yourself and you'll see how your life unfolds. And don't lie to yourself. Be more aggressive sometimes. You know, give yourself grace. Cut yourself slack sometimes. You're not supposed to be on overdrive every day of your life. But, you know, pick your speed that works best with you and keep going.
But the most frustrating thing is even that process, it shouldn't be agonizing 24/7. If anything, you should feel content. I think I have this whole podcast is just projection of me, which is a bit of a problem. But hey, it's called bro therapy. Get over it. I think even while you're struggling, I shouldn't feel this miserable. I shouldn't, because I feel like maybe my serotonin levels are just way too low. It's just the most basic things are hard.
I think for the circumstance you're dealing with, you're feeling below par or an average of feelings you're supposed to be feeling. You're supposed to have a set level of calmness.
You shouldn't be so sad. I see that just being human and normal. Like, you're supposed to be able to do the day-to-day basic stuff. Like, hey.
And another thing is,
take a shower.
This is the problem that with depression and anxiety, as the days in your life, if this is about midlife crisis or just young crisis, trying to find who you are, you shouldn't have days accumulate and you feel worse. You should feel better because you're getting closer. You don't know how, but you're getting closer to an older age where it's easier and more practical to make a decision. I never heard somebody who's 60 years old say, I never found what I like ever. I never tried something that I enjoyed ever in my life. The older you get, the more at bat chances you get to unknown experiences in life, and you just meet something you like. But we don't know the timing.
Yeah. We're going to conclude the podcast now. This is a good one. It's not bad.
Yeah. Guys, I'll get... All right.
What are some lasting things?
I got some lasting things.
These nuts?
No.
What?
I'll give you guys a little preface to the next one. So...
Oh, fuck.
This is like a nuke of disaster. And it involves other people, so... I'm going to be straightforward. I got done wrong in a way that's...
Stereotypically.
All right. I got betrayed, right? Which is fine. Life happens. You got to heal and be fine. And I've been healing. I'm good. Things are going fine. I'm more than happy. I've never been more peaceful. And I've never been more closer to my goals than ever. I'm not regressing in any way. I'm moving forward. Now... I want to tell you guys a story of what happened to me, but I have to have respect and this is just how I think right now.
For hiding, the future, too.
Hiding some things, not saying everything out of respect for the other people, regardless of what they did to me. And this involves multiple people.
Oof.
And it's straight out of a movie scene or some Spanish.
Some bullcrap, that's what I know.
But I'm just glad that from the point of whatever happened to me, I've just been free and nothing's been... This is just my past. It's some way trying to relive itself. But it has no relation to me right now as of today. I'm good. But guys, I'm trying to piece together this story so that when you hear it, you understand. And at the same time, I don't go talking about someone else's business so hard because I have to have... restraint and self-control like and, that I think
and to protect future relationships and if you have kids and all that it's just yeah. to make sure the future is more safe and that's what it is
before I even not get being, into that topic too the main theme of this in one word is forgiveness I think yeah. that's the most important thing out of the story I'm going to say and also to remind you that yeah you can have good intentions, go into something, but life takes its course and you always have a decision to make. What are you going to do about it? And the more times you choose, I'm going to be a better person or show grace to someone or have self-control, the more you can apply yourself in self-control, grace, forgiveness, the stronger person, the better person you will be compared to how you was yesterday. And it's going to carry to next future problems and things like that. But this is insane. I'm talking, oh gosh, I don't even know how to, this is going to take a while. The next podcast, I want to make sure it's very to the point and very detailed, specific, but I have to play that fine line between getting too specific and yeah.
That's going to be the whole conversation, guys. There's a lot of juicy details.
Yeah.
And wait, what? Sorry, what?
No, I'm just thinking like I have to play that boundary of not being too detailed. But another thing is, guys, you have a story to tell. If you get done wrong, you have all the full right to say whatever you want.
Just understand how it's going
to
look.
Yeah, because remember, this is forever. What I intend to post is forever. And I don't want... I know who I am. I'm not the type to just talk about my personal things of life and just leak it all out and not care when it comes to other people involved. I have empathy and restraint for those people because, you know, that's the responsibility of having a platform. You don't just go tattletelling everything, right? Out of respect. But if you got done wrong, you can say you're half, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of details, guys. I don't know how many details you're going to say. But I find some irony in that story.
Yeah, huge irony.
But yeah, and lasting statement. Let's see right now. The biggest thing I can take away from this is... How much closer to the truth am I getting? And am I doing it in a dignified way? I need to figure that out because if I I'm not honest with what's happening with myself, and I don't, and then if I'm lying to myself over my desires because of whatever selfish reason I have, then I'm just going to end up with this problem happening even more in the future, even worse. So I have to address and sort out my heart a lot more. I understand how to forgive myself. I already learned that, how to do that properly. It's hard to believe in my self-worth when I don't see it in person and I don't see it reflected in person. That's really what it is. I struggle with that, but I can keep a face. I can give you a smile. I can give you a great time and all that, whatever. But deep down, my deepest desire, that's what I have to struggle with. Like, I feel like I'm relying on others for the validation of the self-worth because my biggest desire is to share a life with someone else. And I don't see, you already know the stereotype answer. You don't need anyone. Just focus on I understand. Yeah. But again, when life hits you in the face and time passes, you're 45 alone. I don't want to be in that position.
And my last take on that is that everyone is outcome driven. And when you're young, the outcome driven mentality
is too focused on that. I'm too focused on that. I know.
If you're not there yet, you can pound yourself and beat yourself up because you can count the million steps that you have between that outcome in your mind.
The thing is that I'm looking the statistics, that was the validation of the negative bias. That was the negative confirmation bias that I shouldn't tell myself. But it's because also the world is looking very immoral to me when it comes to that. It's a tough position to be in, but I don't want to focus. I shouldn't focus too much on that. It's not healthy for me. And it doesn't help me that much because I'm already very focused on the risk, and I understand. I'm hurting myself more by focusing on it more.
Yeah,
but it just sucks because it makes me. I literally feel numb.
Symbolically speaking, someone in fourth grade thinking about college and getting stressed out.
That's one of the things that doing that.
And if you look back at your life, you're like, you know what? No, I should be more in my age and not bully myself in this.
Not in a reckless, dumb way. Like being young and dumb. I don't like that.
Yeah, no.
Because I think that's exactly what gets me in the position I'm worried about. Lost. Being young and dumb. Yeah, I hate that.
It's good to think ahead. But
I just
outcome wise,
yeah, just
understanding you're not there yet.
Take it easy. It's not the end of the world. Literally, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, the world doesn't care about me that much, anyways.
I mean, you know what's so good too?
No, I'm valuable. I just have to.
At least life doesn't say, with most things by far, life doesn't say, hey, if you don't do this by this age, you're a failure for life. You have multiple IVFs. You have multiple IVFs.
No, look, you know what it is because. The validation shouldn't rely on the world. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Should not. It's really I think, and this is why I'm honestly thinking, all right, let's say I die, no family, no wife, nothing. I at least have my family, okay. Hey, I do touch the world, whatever, but my deepest desire is to have that. Ever since I was a kid, I literally wanted that. My own family, my own kids, nice house. That's it. Let's say I don't get that. At the very least, I'm going to heaven.
For me,
at the very least, I gave others light and hope to also believe and try to go to heaven as well. That is literally the only thing I can think of that's actually worth keeping onto that will give me hope. That's
not only that.
No, no, that's honestly.
You find family related activities to help impact other people.
I said that. I said that. Even, I still have family. My brothers.
You treat friends like family. You do
I know.
Philanthropy-based things. You help other people.
Sam, I told you. Exactly, yeah. And I touch others' lives. And I know that's going to be great. It's going to be dignified, yeah. But to me, it doesn't matter. It's not in my heart. It doesn't matter as much as it just doesn't. I value having my own versus that. So as selfish as it may sound. No, but this is the over-regarding point. Even if I do have a family, right? Even if I do have that. Still, what's more important than that is that I'm a believer and I have to believe that I'm going to heaven.
Of course, yeah.
Because what that does is it grounds me to no matter, it doesn't matter what happens
in
my life.
There's only so low you can go.
It doesn't matter. I know. It doesn't matter. Even if I go back to a suicidal thing, which I'm not. It doesn't matter if I truly believe in that, I'm good. That's the main purpose of me believing that. And that's the only thing. That I can believe to that actually anchors me to keep moving forward. The only thing, Because I haven't proven that to myself yet, because I'm in the growing process. And it gives me peace. But still, the suffering of life is the suffering of life, and no one can avoid it. But yeah. Guys, take what you will from this. Pardon me for my ignorance, my naivety, or whatever it may seem. I'm just being honest. It's still a process. But I know it's going to be okay, because I have that in me. And if I have that and I can stay consistent with that, nothing should make me fall so hard, because I know even if I die, I'm saved.
Yep.
So God bless you guys. Most likely every listener I'm praying about. Probably every listener I've been praying about you for months already.
And guys,
Sam too, by the way. I saw, but I got you guys. You posted on Instagram.
Yeah, I do a lot of praying, and it helps. And I think, guys, with the whole faith thing, again, just ask God more. Put more faith in that higher being. He'll answer you. And in prayer, if you feel it's very transactional and empty,
don't
speak.
Guys, if you say, I feel this, yeah, frack you. Literally, that's good. Not in the way, like, be honest. That's what I'm saying. Because the point is to address everything to God. That doesn't mean that, how can I say this appropriately? I don't know.
You get disrespectful?
Well, yeah, no, that doesn't mean it works like you just say everything you want, everything you're struggling with, and it's going to happen. Yeah, no.
It can't be transactional.
Like no, that. Because the answer you really need is not what you're going to like. That happens a lot of the time, because you're not as smart as God, aren't you?
And also, try reading the word. This. If reading you feel the word. Like, if you feel disconnect when praying, ask God more, speak less, and wait for God to answer you throughout days or weeks. Just wait for it. And see the sign. Because remember, God's not going to appear himself to you and show you right in your face and tell you, bang. He's going to use someone, something, a pattern. And you'll see it repeated times if you're like, no way.
And if you're into the religious faith, then you have to read the Bible, because that's how you educate yourself on what to do and not to do and what God would see. But again, this is a not fully dived in perspective. It's just a little seed of some wisdom, I hope, from my experience. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Keep moving forward. I'm 23 years old now. Here's to many more. I hope I don't have any other anxiety attacks like this, because that would feel really bad.
Also, one last thing. We're going to start posting. We are posting more frequently recently.
Should happen even more.
Yeah, and we're going to do these little rapid fire type podcasts where maybe Joe has a solo episode of like 5 minutes or eight or seven. Yeah,
honestly, maybe like less.
Maybe 2 minutes.
Is it all right? Can I just do a minute or two?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fine.
My range is probably going to be 1 through 5 minutes at most.
Yeah.
It's just something random that pops up in our heads that we just want to share with you guys, what you guys think about it.
Honestly, our most played podcast was a something I recorded that was like 35 seconds that I was saying, hey, I'm going to upload more, and I never did. But it's true. It's just true. We're probably not that interesting. People don't have the time of day like that. And it's fine. I agree. I can see that. When I'm 5 minute thing, just to check up on what I'm thinking, that's cool. Sure.
And I think this is a really good time vault for our lives. And also, not only that, I know people hearing relate in some way. And I just want everyone hearing and everyone not hearing to better their lives. Everyone in our age, I see us in the same team, and I want us to get better. And these conversations, I wish more people our age were having. Deep dive into things.
I wish people were more kind to each other. So where the howdy neighbor attitude happens in the city more. It just doesn't happen because the fear. And it's understandable. It's just sad. Wish it was more community-based city. Just country. There was a quick saying that there was a saying that it's like a cultural perspective in that Americans were homeless with homes, meaning that they didn't have like a community of like 15, 20, like a family around them, because they're all isolated in their own box. But whatever.
That's lesson like my... is on a positive note. I like Gatorade. Yeah.
No, come on. Other than on a positive note, we're going to get money. We're going to get money.
I got a lot to talk about, guys. I haven't said a lot of things.
Yeah, this is about me. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. I haven't said a lot of things, but another day. And I'm no, looking forward.
This to next one's going to be about Sam, so I know you guys prefer him.
Yeah, I'm going to cry. Mine's going to be 3 hours straight, so get ready.
Yeah, get ready. Get your lube ready. You're going to love this one. All right, guys.
See ya.
God bless you guys.
This is the dialogue, bro.
The therapy.
Take care.
Cheers to no more anxiety attacks.